Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. Let's give God a hand praise in this house. He is worthy to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. The name of Jesus is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, we could do better than that. Glory to God. Now, I know it's a women's conference, and I'm used to being in the presence of praying women. Glory to God. And when women pray, hallelujah, how many of you know things happen when women pray? Glory to God. I'm in the right place. Now, I'm a brother, but I'm in the right place today. Hallelujah. So we worship you, Lord God. We magnify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We thank you right now for this opportunity to come together in this house, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the woman of God, the visionary, and the person of Pastor Brenda Frewster. Hallelujah, God, who gave the vision for this conference, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the man of God, the angel of this house, and the person of Pastor Robert Frewster, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for, God, this congregation. We thank you for, oh God, this conference. We thank you for your presence right now. And in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we thank you that you've already given us the victory, hallelujah, concerning all things. We thank you right now for destiny. We thank you for purpose. We thank you for turning situations around. We thank you for breaking, destroying strongholds. Oh, my God, we thank you right now. Hallelujah, for greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. My God, we thank you right now, God, for this time together. Lord, we thank you, God, for the woman of God who's coming forth right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, to share, oh, God, in this conference what you placed on her heart. Oh, God, as it relates to praying before one votes. Lord, give us hearing ears, oh, God, receptive hearts right now. We thank you, God, for Freya. Hallelujah. Bless, oh, God, anoint our lips right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory and praise for in advance. And let the people of God declare in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I tell you, it only takes two or three. It only takes two or three. He said, well, two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm in the midst. The last time I checked, it's more than two or three of us in here, Pastor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got enough power in here right now to turn the whole city upside down. Oh, you better hear what I'm saying to you. Glory to God. It don't take a whole lot of folks, amen, to bring about change. Glory to God. And that's what this book is about. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm before you really to introduce my wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of this great conference. Woman of God, we thank God for you, amen, having us be a part of this. Come on, give God a hand praise. Oh, come on, give God a hand praise for the visionary, amen, Pastor Brenda Frewster, amen, a mentor, my wife, glory to God, amen. She loved my wife, prayed for my wife, along with some of the other sisters here, and I thank God for y'all, because see, y'all kept her for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm just happy to be here. Amen. We thank God for you. I'm going to introduce my wife, Freya. Amen. So that she can come forward. Amen. And do what she needs to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Author of Pray Before You Vote, Freya S. Huffman is a native of Waynesboro, Georgia. She is married to yours truly, Pastor Rodney Huffman, and founder of New Destiny Community Church, Cocoa, Florida. And we together have seven children, Ryan, Ebony, Jeremiah, Jordan, Hannah, Kendall, and Akoli. Yeah. Amen. We all reside in Warner Robins, Georgia. She is the author of Pray Before You Vote, an inspirational book that encourages Christians to seek God before they vote and encourage non-voters to become a part of the political process. This book was birthed because of Freya's own struggle with her personal views versus God's views. Also, the hypocrisy in Christian politicians and Christian leaders also concerned her as well. While watching Kenneth Copeland and David Barton, she was inspired to research the history of voting and politics. As a result, Pray Before You Vote, Jesus is not a Democrat or Republican. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Was birth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. She is a member of Waynesboro Deliverance Church, where Dr. Pastor Glenn Wiggins Sr. and Betty Jo Wiggins are the senior pastor and co-pastor. She is a lay minister and has served in the following roles: prison ministry, witnessing team ministry, former dean of Deliverance School of Ministry, children's church, nursery, tutoring, Sunday school, and School of Ministry technology teacher. Yeah. Freya joined Thankful Baptist Church under Reverend Williams Blunt as a young child, and later she joined Maranatha Tabernacle Church as a teenager under pastors Paul and Glenda Vault. She joined Waynesboro Deliverance during her college years. There she was a prayer partner with TV 49, the Watchman broadcasting of Augusta, Georgia, and was responsible for updating the website for TV49, where Dorothy and Russell Spaulding are the founders. Her spiritual training came from Central Christian University and the Deliverance School of Ministry in Waynesboro, Georgia, where she earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Biblical Studies. She earned a basketball scholarship to Claflin University of Orangeburg, South Carolina. That's her pride and joy. Where she earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and Computer Science. While attending Claflin University, she was voted Miss Homecoming in 1991, Miss Asbury Hall in 1992, and Miss Claflin University 1993 to 1994. She was a member of the Claflin University Pantherettes basketball team, was honored for the highest academic average on the basketball team. I married a nerd. Amen. She also earned 3 internships and 1 co-op to Westinghouse Savannah River Company in Aiken, South Carolina. Additionally, Freya earned a master's degree in business administration with a concentration in information technology from Keller Graduate School of Management at DeVry University. She earned a GM, a General Consortium for Minorities in Engineering and Science Fellowship from Westinghouse Savannah River Company, and participated in the Computer Science Graduate Program at Clemson University. She completed PhD coursework in education with a focus in training and performance improvement from Capella University. Finally, she has been employed at Westinghouse Savannah River Company, International Paper, Columbian Chemicals Company, and Eaton Corporation. She was the area chair of mathematics and information technology at the University of Phoenix Augusta campus and teaches at Strayer University, Miller Mott Technical College, and previously Argosy University. But most important, this woman of God is saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, and love the Lord, and she's mine. Without further ado, I introduce you to Freya Sullivan Hubman. Come on, give God a hand praise for her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, babe. Praise God. Amen. You know, it's a story between all those accolades that he read off. Amen. And I just feel like I'm home. I got to give a hug in front of everybody. Y'all don't know what this woman means to me. Love you. This woman. This woman of God. You can't tell a dreamer to dream and they don't do it for real. Somebody like me, somebody like all of us. And when we encountered her, and she made us work hard. Now, I was in Georgia, and I was online. Who was in my online class? Me and Karen, yep. And we had 9 months of work, 3 trimesters. I have 3 kids, and birthing those kids was hard. But birthing a dream is harder. She required us to go talk to our pastor about our dream and joining this program, and mine was like, whatever, he signed it off. Like it's just something else Freya want to do, because you know I'm busy, I can't help it. And out of that came this book. Amen, this book is 10 years old. God told me to re-release it when I got a new husband, though. And babe, I'm just going to break the ice. He has the same name as my ex-husband. But we'll save that for tomorrow. So I almost didn't date him. I'm just saying. So I shortened up his name. His name is Rod. That's for tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. So this woman of God really, really pushed us. It was no excuse. She expected us to do it. And I don't know if everybody took their assignment seriously, but we did, right? We took it seriously. Our goal was to birth our dream. And for a lot of us, we didn't know what that was because we had to deal with some old stuff, some baggage, some junk. Then we had to accept ourselves as we were in our present, and then our future. And I've been a daydreamer since I was a little girl. I used to get in trouble for daydreaming. And then when I wasn't daydreaming, I was talking all the time. And my teacher used to write on my report card, Freya talks entirely too much. She didn't have to put the entirely in there, but I do. I love to talk, and I thank you for allowing me to do this, Pastor Brenda, Pastor Robert as well. God bless you for allowing him. Let's give a man of God a round of applause for allowing this event to happen. You know, thank you for giving the woman their break and pause to do this. This is a blessing. And anybody who knows me knows your name. And I don't know if you all noticed it, but she wrote the foreword for my book. It's at the bottom. Yeah, it's at the bottom.
Right there.
Yep, amen. So I just appreciate you. So I know I'm here to talk about, but we're going to get to that. But I have to let you know how I got here, y'all, because I know you heard all those accolades, but in between were a lot of breaks, a lot of breaks. I earned a basketball scholarship to college, I thank God. But when I first got there, I found out I was birthing a child. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to tell my mama this. And it happened the summer before I went to college. So I had some choices. I could have gone back home and quit or keep going. So for that first semester, as Mary did, but hers was, she did hers the right way because God did it. I hid it. And I wrote my mama a letter and said, Mama, I'm pregnant. But the way we were raised, when I got in trouble, my sister got in trouble and vice versa. So my sister intercepted the letter and threw it in the trash. I said, Kenya, what's the letter? I'm not getting in trouble for you. I said, you ain't got nothing to do with this. So I wrote another one. And God's grace and love showed through my mom. And my mom told me, she said, you know what? I'm going to keep the baby. Write your coach a letter. Y'all remember that, the letter. Write your coach a letter and ask him, can you come back to school? And I did. And coach said, yeah, sure. Huh? What about me failing and falling and staying down and beating down and feeling bad? So when you hear all those accolades, it sounds good on paper, but that was what was going on in the background of my life. I excelled. I said, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative. I'm just going to make the best out of this situation. So, yeah, I got straight A's. I did. I was so happy. You don't understand. I was working hard. I had college mentors that would just guide me along. They were just impressed that I stayed in school. And then I had the idea one day. I said, I'm just going to run for Miss Homecoming. It's just votes. And I ran, and everybody voted, and I won. And I said, okay. And, you know, I'm a basketball player. I just wear lip gloss and a little bit of eyeshadow. Not eyeshadow, but just mascara. I don't even wear a lot of stuff. So I wasn't like a real beauty queen. I was just a voted queen. And then I ran for Miss Asbury Hall and won that my junior year. And so the biggie was Miss Claflin. Now, this is the person that gets to be in Ebony Magazine. You remember how they used to have the black college queens? So I just run. And I had one of my best friends, she sung at my wedding. She could have easily won because she was like talented for real. I was like basketball talented, but she was like vocally talented. But she didn't run. I think she was just being nice to me, but I ran and won. And God blessed me to really get about 95% of the votes. It was just people, how you treat people, and they just voted. They didn't care if I had a child, any of that. So between all those accolades that he read, and I like people to read it because I want people to say, oh, look at that. Yeah, wow, she, no. You don't understand the grace of God that got me here. And I've always been a dreamer. So I had a fellowship opportunity to go to Savannah Riverside and Clemson University. And first time I applied to Clemson, they said no. Said, you know, you're not the kind of student. Yeah, you got good grades, but your GRE, you didn't score as high. So I wrote what? I wrote a letter. And that letter opened up a door. You know, you can write a letter and change the heart of a person. It gives them time to absorb it. So I want to just drop that with you before I leave. Write a letter. Because people can hear your heart. They know it took time. When I go back to homecoming now and I see my coach's wife, she's been promising. She said, Freya, you know I still got that letter. That's 20-some years ago. I want it because I want to give it to my daughter to let her know that as a result of them giving me this opportunity, God allowed me to raise you, take care of you. I had a great support system. My mom did not leave me hanging. Amen. Amen. You know, they be threatening they're going to do this and do that, but really they got your back. Amen. Amen. So fast forward, I learned about this program, and because of our destiny, and I know God has purposed me to do something, and I love to be around other women that are doing things, and that's why Karen and I have been able to stay friends for so long as well, and we've been supporting each other for years as well. This right here came about. Because nobody's going to understand your dream but you and the people that God assigns to you. Some people may think you're whack and crazy and, oh, there they go trying to do something else. They're never content. People say that to me all the time. You're always doing something, yeah? You can never be content. And some people just want you to be okay with just being content and mediocre. If that's you, that's okay, and be that to the best you can. But don't knock anybody else who wants to do what God called them to do. So with our assignments, we had a curriculum. We had a syllabus. It was professional. And I wasn't even a college professor at that time, but I was already getting some pre-work. Amen. And now, even when I teach now, I try to teach with that. I love application. I'm going to have y'all moving around a little today. I love group activities, and I love things like that. Amen? But it came this book, and it was Birth in Prayer. I used to drive an hour and 15 minutes to work at Eaton Corporation in Greenwood, South Carolina, and the Holy Spirit would pull me over and say, make this a chapter. Write that. Do that. And I would do it. Then I'd get back. And then I would wake up in the middle of the morning and I'd write some more because I'm not a writer for real. You know, I just was writing down thoughts. And then the Lord had me to start organizing things and then it turned into a book. So like I do with everything, I text Pastor Brenda and say, I got a book. Would you be interested in writing a forward? And she says, sure, as she does because she supports her people. Amen. And she supports people all around the world. It just doesn't stop with you here. She has an international impact. Okay, amen. And I just thank God for someone believing in me because I've gotten a lot of no's and I've gotten a lot of people just think you're doing the most or doing too much. That's all I know how to do. I know how to do the most and I know how to do too much. I don't know how to tone it down, whatever that means. I get in trouble for that a lot, even when I'm working. So I have to learn how to blend, if you will, but it's hard. I can't help it. I really can't. This is my personality. I'm walk by and I'm gonna say, and when I get to work in the morning, how you doing? How's your day? What's going on? How the kids? Everybody good? Okay, how's it going? And this is me. Before I even get to work, I done walk down every aisle, talk to everybody. Make sure everybody's good, and now I can work. Because I can't jump in my day. Thank you. I sweat a lot. I can't help it. Ever since my Jerry Curl days. Okay, one Jerry Curl story, and I'm going on. I got to tell it. So, you know, I went to college on a basketball scholarship. And so when I got there, I had a wave nouveau, but still, it was still kind of greasy. And when you playing basketball, it's sweating all down your face. So my teammates talking about, thank you so much. Coach, we can't catch the ball. The ball too greasy. So my mama was living in Virginia at the time. And when I went back home to Virginia to visit, I said, Mom, I got to get rid of this Jerry Curl because they tripping talking about they can't catch the ball. So anyway, I was young, about 18, 19, and I went to a beautician in Virginia, and I said, I need something like a new era. Y'all remember the new era was supposed to reverse the curl? Am I dating myself? I said, I need a new era, because that's what I was told to get. It's going to reverse my curl, and then I'm just going to wear my regular hair. So the girl said, I don't have a new era, but I have something like it. But I remember I was young, so I let her put something like it in my hair. And I had some beautiful finger waves, and it was rotted. It was gorgeous. I was cute for that moment. So I went back to college in Orangeburg, and I went home. And when we were in Dunton Hall, we had these deep sinks. And anybody from Claflin that might be watching here, they know those big deep sinks. We used to wash our clothes in there because we were kind of old school. We weren't as upgraded as we are now. But so that day, I said, I'm going to wash my hair out because it's coming loose. You know, it's cute, and it's not cute anymore. And I started washing my hair literally in the sink. Strands like this just falling out. So I wore a short haircut the rest of my 3-4 years. And my good friend, Samiko, she used to keep my hair done for $5. And my other friend, Tamika, used to curl it with some nice wax for $5. Yes. So God provided, but my hair was gone. All because I was worried about somebody talking about my Jerry curl that I should have kept. So don't go try to please anybody because you don't know what you might lose. It took forever for it to try to come back. But thank God for the folks that sell it, and I get some help now. Amen. Okay, that's the end of my Jericho story. All right. So fast forward. We're going to come back to the book. Again, I wrote this book because of conviction I had. I grew up as a Democrat all day, every day. My mama was part of the civil rights movement. She was actually in Waynesboro. She was discriminated against at the laundromat. We call it the wash house. That's what we call it. And she had to go to the Supreme Court with Commissioner Herman Lodge because they were redrawing the areas so people could vote. Some places were underpopulated, so you would have a more higher vote in one area and less in another. So it was twofold for the laundromat and for that. And she fought. So that's where I get that from. We were civil rights activists. We get out. We go pick up people in our car. We take them around. We get them registered. Are you registered? Are you registered? Come on, let's go. And anybody who wanted to win know to call Gloria Sullivan because she was the campaign manager for everybody. And so we loved it. We fought hard. And then as we started growing up in the Word and understanding more of the things of the Lord just started dealing with me with different issues. So that he didn't say go jump to another party. He said just come to me. And as a result, this is what we have in this book 10 years ago. Now, what we're seeing now, can I be honest, I saw this 10 years ago because it was bothering me so much. I'm like, Lord, I know good Democrats, and I know good Republicans who are good Christians on both sides, amen? But what's going on, Lord? Something's just not feeling right, because what I'm seeing is that they're making some candidates seem more godlier than others, and they have flaws. And nobody's not without flaws, but when we try to make one better than another, that's a problem, amen? So as a result, I was just writing and scribbling. So I came up with Jesus is not a Democrat or Republican after watching Kenneth Copeland. And then I came up with, we just need to pray before we vote. So I'm just going to take you through a slide presentation here, some things. First of all, got to give props to my spiritual mentor right there. And also, we're going to talk about, girl, you don't know your power. Amen? All right. So we're going to talk about why pray. Why vote? I like when you were honest saying, you know, my first time voting was with President Obama. I love it, you know, because something got caused you to get engaged then. So we don't want to disengage. What was God's original intent? Biblical references to voting. I got so many scriptures, but I won't overload you. I'll tell you where to get them from. Woman, you earned the right to vote. The book, Prayer Voting Guide, and God is in control. Amen. So why do we pray? Well, in general, because we want to communicate with God. Amen? We do. We do. I'm going to email this presentation to Pastor Brenda as well so she can feel free to share if she needs to. But we want to be able to communicate with God. And I know we're talking about voting right now, but what was the last thing you prayed for? Mine might have been my kids, my money, my job, my book, everything, right? But God created us to pray and have a relationship and commune with him, all right? And we can be sensitive to his voice. How many times have you been praying and God just dropped something in you so clear? You're like, yeah, God, that's it. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Lord. But if you're not praying to him, you don't know that. Amen? And, you know, how many times have we prayed and he just moved that situation for us on our behalf? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Like, Lord, you did that. Thank you. Amen. But it does move the hand of God. So why not include prayer in our voting then? If we're praying about everything else, why are we not including prayer in our decision-making in general? I heard Joyce Meyer say that Dave told her husband that our vote is a seed. What does a seed do when you put it in the ground? Think about it. So even if you're saying, I don't even know who to vote for this time, and I promise you, I didn't come here to tell you either. That's between you and God. But it's a seed. So when you have that conversation with the Lord and you pray, he's going to let you know. But one of the things I do caution Christians is don't be deceived by a political party, no matter which one it is. Green, brown, blue, orange, whatever. People can run on a platform and have a different heart on the inside. I even have an example in my book about one particular, it was a congressman or someone, and I have the specific name in there, but he ran on a particular party ticket, won. As soon as he won, he jumped to the other one. How deceptive is that? If you voted for that person on that party, but had you done the research, had you prayed about it, right? You would have known what God was saying. So you don't have to doubt God's word, even if we lose. Even if you lose something, even if you try something and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, look the way it's supposed to look, does it mean that God didn't tell you to do that? That means you're just obedient. It means that other people may not have got on board or connected with it. Okay, I've been pushing this for 10 years. And to be honest, I just thought I would have been on TBN by now, Pastor Brenda. I met Miles Monroe before he passed. He was impressed. We even heard him mention my book title on TBN, No Joke, Me and My Mom. And we was like, yeah, and that was all. But we met Ed along with it. I was doing selfies with everybody at the at the International Christian Bookseller Show. Nothing. Because God didn't want it like that yet. He's going to do it his way. But I'm going to tell you what Freya was thinking. God, this is your message to your people. Surely your people will get on board. Not so. A lot of times if the idea doesn't come from those people, they're not hearing it. So Pastor Brenda, I got me some business cards. And one of my titles I just added to myself because you know I'm always doing something. Is ghostwriter. So if you want me to write it for you. So if stuff is your idea, I'm a ghostwriter now. I write for you. I love to write. Amen. And that way people can keep their name at the top. Amen. So we pray because we want to seek God. We pray because we trust the Lord. He created us. He told us to bring our issues to him, our problems to him, our concerns to him. Amen. So then why vote? We want to elect leaders that represent God's values. And you're saying, okay, Freya, you got jokes because I'm confused this election. One of the first questions I have on the back of my book is, are you confused about who you should vote for this election? Again, I don't tell you who. I just ask the question. My next question, do you wonder why voting is important? And then thirdly, do you see hypocrisy in Christian politicians? Amen. People can get up. I feel like a preacher because I'm doing this here. He does that all the time. I got his towel, but I just sweat a lot. But people can get up and say, because I'm this party, vote for me because I'm this person. Of course, a lot of times in the churches, people come around and during election time and the senators, the congressmen, everybody want to visit. And they got one good scripture. And they talk about it for a few minutes just so we can get their vote. But God wants us to look deeper. Amen. Amen. All right. So we want to elect leaders that represent. But can I tell you this? The leaders may not have all the qualities, but can I tell you that a Christian can infiltrate them and work with them and say, hey, we can pull you on this side? Do you know why Christians don't like you to do this and why we don't support that? This is why. Has God ever prompted any of you to run for office? Maybe not at this moment, but you don't know. I don't like to complain, and I don't offer solutions, okay? I don't want to even run for office. My sister's going to beat me to it. She be at Georgia State Capitol taking kids all the time. She has a nonviolence movement for kids. It's called BRIDGE, and I gave her the acronym for it, Building Responsible Individuals, Developing Great Examples. And our goal is to help kids to stay on the right track, and she is so embedded in it. Rod has preached for her organization a few times. I got to do something November 5th, Payne College in Augusta. We're trying to raise money for that school. So I like to say, don't talk about it, be about it. That's one thing I know about Pastor Brenda. She bees about it. She don't talk. She don't talk a good game, and she don't back it up. She delivers, and I just known that for years. We don't talk every day. If anything, we might text. We pop up, and she'll say, you're doing all right? Everything's good? Yes, ma'am, everything's fine. And I give her the rundown with all the kids and everything that's going on. And my text is about this long, so it'll last about, she don't have to talk to me for a few months because it's about this long. I can't help it. When she reaches out, I just feel like I want to say, okay. Also, voting allows our values and concerns to be represented. A lot of times, things are getting passed because we're not showing up as Christians. People are passing laws. We've gotten prayers taken out of school. That never should have happened. And I know there are certain groups that are trying to get it back in and we need it, but that's something all of us could do. We could go and we could fight and we could say, hey, we got to have this back. Now, if somebody want to go pray to a tree, let them. But don't stop us from praying to our God. And you want to call it a moment of silence? Call it what you want, but let us have it. Amen? And also, can we have an elective to put the Bible in school? It's so many Sunday school teachers around. We need to push it back in school. And then let me tell you how society works. So society likes data. They like statistics. You know, I'm a math person. I just love math. I always did. I don't know why. I just like cracking code. I used to be a computer programmer for years, and I like all that kind of stuff. I don't know why. I'm just a little fluky. But the society want to see numbers. They want you to collect data. So if you can show them that the program that God gave you, because you all have something that's burning in your heart that God has told you to do, and you're waiting on somebody to approve it, you better get with God and say, God, show me how to do it. Because if you keep waiting on people's approval, you're never going to get it done. They want data. A lot of times when you want to get grants, they want data. I wanted to start my own tutoring organization. I've always tutored for years since I've been out of college. I want to help athletes get in college. I almost didn't make it to college because I didn't score high enough on the SAT the first time. So I try to find athletes that can't do well on the SAT and prep them to help them do better. But what I wasn't doing was keeping my data. And there was a grant that I surely should have gotten with the school system, but because I didn't keep that data when I turned it in, I got denied because of that. If you're doing something right now, and I know I'm going on a tangent, but it's still related to lawmaking and the funds that are available by the lawmakers, keep data. Get a database. Get a form. Get some ages. Capture races that are looking for that. They're looking for wherever that neighborhood is. You got an idea that's going to impact. They have money, whoever, you know, the government does. Because the government can't do it all. They just want you to fix the problem. So even looking out here, and I have to reference it in Charlotte, I have a lot of friends from college in Charlotte in that area. And it's a good area. A lot of folks like to go there and make a good living, make good money. But there's some stuff going on there now, as we've all seen, that people are upset. But do you know that if we had data and a program to say, hey, the way we can fix this is we do this and do that. And I was telling my husband, you know, he's military, so he for real, you know about security and all that kind of stuff. And I know you all military family as well from the past, so you get all that. But my thing is I train leaders and managers, and I want to train in sensitivity training. What can we do to make this better? Why do we have to pull a gun first and not a taser? Why do we have to have such low tolerance for one race versus another? But there's something that causes that. So we can get to the root of that and see what causes that and have the data to support it. Again, we go back to the programs. Those programs will be funded. But you got to collect data. Get you some skills. Microsoft Excel. You know, I love YouTube. I'm not that smart. People say, you're so smart. No. I flunked some classes in between. I had to retake some classes. I just don't know how to quit. And I keep going. But get your Microsoft Excel class. I know I'm going all over the place. And collect your data. Because when you do, people are going to say, well, you know what? I know Karen's got this thing where she likes to work with women, and she got this program. And so let me see what that's about. You take it to the city council. My sister's taking her program to the city council, to the county commissioner. She's made, and we're talking about impacting the law now. We're talking about impacting law enforcement, the county, the city. And people get tired of her talking about, there she go with that bridge. She even got some bridge T-shirts. She got... But we help her, because we do what we do as well, but we like to join forces with others and use our gifts and talents. But with the data, when you get the data, people will pay attention. There was I don't know if y'all saw the report that came out, and it came out from Radio 1. It was amazing the data they collected on the statistics. Did you see that? It was blue, black, and white. I think it's what it was called. But this caused people to start paying attention. There's something going on for real. We need to see what it is about. We need to fix it on both sides. We need to tell our youth how to act, how not to act, We need to help our cops to be more sensitive as well. But if you don't have data, people are not listening. You got to talk with numbers. Amen. Thank you for letting me just kind of insert that in there. And by the way, YouTube, Microsoft Excel, I was going to say YouTube teach you everything. Everything. It's probably stuff you don't want to know, but definitely go take some computer classes. So let's talk about God's original intent. My husband said, I can preach this one for you. I know he could. He really could. But I'm just a teacher, so I'm just going to teach it. This I remember this verse because Jordan had to learn it for a Christmas play at church. But it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And where is the government going to be? On his shoulder. And his name is going to be called what? Amen. Jesus is where our true government is. We got to run stuff by him, through him. Amen. We're trying to do it ourselves and we're doing it wrong. Yes. And I'm just saying in general. Because yes. The church gets this. We know to run things by him. We know to seek him. Amen. But when we try to do it outside of him, we mess up. Yes. Now look at Saul versus David. Who did the people want? Mm-hmm. And really now God is a theocracy. Theocracy meaning God is the one at the head, right? But people like something that's tangible. There have been many instances in the Bible where people would build their own gods, right? God wasn't pleased with that, was he? They would build their own gods, and God would deal with them. And I'm doing a study now on just the different kings in the Bible, the good kings versus the bad kings, and what happened as a result of those kings. Amen? But David was just minding his own business with the sheep, dirty and ruddy, but doing an excellent job. And God said, that's who I wanted, even though the people wanted Saul. So when we're looking at our elected officials, what is God saying? What are the people saying? Okay? But you take that to him in prayer. Amen? Don't try to handle this on your own. God set this election up to be confusing for a reason. Seriously. He did. Yeah, because we got our own mind. Yeah. Because last time and the two or three times before, we kind of had all mine on, well, and I'm really praying for the church. I'm praying for the church, how we represent ourselves, how we align ourselves with certain parties. We should not. 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 God's not pleased with that. He's not pleased. We'd be better to say, thus saith the Lord, according to his word. Then thus saith this party or that party. Or this is God's party and that is God's party and that's not God's party. We'll do better to say that and keep our hands clean. We can't get tangled up with the things of the world. We can't, I used to say, church, don't hustle your vote just to get a law passed. But go try to change the law for sure. But don't try to align with just a party to get it, because again, this is what people will do. They'll manipulate you later. Remember that time that you said you was gonna give me that vote? Well, you got that vote. Now what you got for me? But this is gonna be my policy over here. Don't touch this policy because I gave you your vote over here for this one thing. Amen. We got to start praying for more politicians that are God-fearing folks. Amen. But right now, we're just kind of confused. Lord, what do we do? I hear people saying the lesser of the two evils. I don't think evil was ever good in God's eye. But you still vote. You still vote, women. Amen. We still got to vote. And so because God had to come in and say, this is who I want, this is who it's going to be, that's how it's going to be. Even with this election. Do you know God is still in control? That's the last chapter of my book. Well, the next to the last one. The last one is, are you saved? But I still had to put it in there. But the next to the last chapter is, God is in control. We got to trust him. Amen? All right. So women, this is my trivia question. I think I might have some type of ebook, babe, to give them if they get it. Y'all know y'all can cheat, right, by using your phone. I love an open book test. What amendment gave women the right to vote? Say it again. 19th? Who's going to fact check that for me? I need somebody else to double check. Okay, she got it right. Yay. All right, good job. Remember that if you don't remember anything else, women. Where's some other important ones, too? And to be honest, I just looked that up before I came. Because I had forgotten, to be honest. I got something swimming around in my head. I was like, oh, I know it's one of the teenths. But it's the last teenth, so remember that, okay? It took us all the way up to the 19th to get our vote. Isn't that something? All right, so just some of the book, and I'm going to talk about your power, okay? Should my vote be based on a political party? Now, y'all, this is how God was giving it to me, okay? I'm from Waynesboro, so I like my y'alls. I keep them, too. As a professor, I'm supposed to say you, but I like my y'alls. So when I was riding down the side of the road, God would give me questions like, should my vote be based on a political party? And I was like, that's a good question, God. Let me see. And I would just start writing. Then my other chapter, what issues are important to God? Not Freya, because I got something that's real important to me. But what's important to God during that season? Right. Now, this is one of my favorites. What political party would Jesus be affiliated with if he were here today? Don't answer. Unless you said none. I know, because some people think Jesus is a Democrat and some people think Jesus is a Republican. Okay. And then this one, should we mix religion and politics? So this one's kind of heavy. This is heavy. Yeah, so definitely explore that one. Now, your vote, can it make a difference? Has anybody a part of a board, any kind of board? Any kind of board, leadership board, family reunion board, committee? Anybody part of anything? Mm-hmm. Me and Rod just had our family reunion this year. We had to vote that it was not going to be in Warner Robins. We always take it to a city where the person lives. We took it to Callaway Gardens, and we overrode everybody. But they enjoyed it because he was traveling, and I needed help, and that place took care of everything for us. But we had to make an autocratic decision. So, can your vote make a difference? Let's talk about it. Yes, it can. Freya, I voted and my person didn't win. Do you know they pay attention to the loser and how close they got to the winner? Do you know that even your vote, you need to vote. Sometimes you need to look at what laws are going into effect, and especially in the school system, I'm really encouraging women, let's get up in there, let's get in school, let's volunteer. One of the things I used to do is I used to be a parent advocate. I didn't know that's what I was called, but this lady wanted me to tutor her son, and whenever he went to school and she went to the school to talk to the teacher would just kind of like blow her off or kind of ignore her, and she couldn't, you know, explain herself well. So I was like, I go there, you know, I talk to the teacher for you. And the teacher had more respect for the mom. They said, who are you? I said, I'm his tutor and her advocate. And I like to know, you know, why they're not doing well in school, and because I'm going to create a learning plan for them and take them home, and we're going to work on that. Yeah. And the teacher handled them different from then on. Yeah. I was just a me. Can't you go do that for somebody else? Can't you go do that for your little cousin and family member, church member? Be an advocate. Yeah. I used to do it once a week or sometimes every other week, because I would get a grade report. And I say, I like to be copying on their grades. I want to know how they're doing because they're going to do better. That's a freebie, y'all. Amen. And we collecting what with that? We collecting some data. That's right. You can start an organization. I had a little women's conference some years ago that Karen and Pastor Brenda came to. Y'all know what I found? I forgot to bring it. My mama has it all this time. When we were all on the TV show, TV 49, I got the paper. I'm going to send it to y'all with all our names on there. Y'all, that was a divine thing. I had my little conference. I had about people show up maybe. But I know God told me to do it. And I did it. And Pastor Brenda came down with her faithful self, and Karen and Shelly and Christy and Val and my best friend at home, Tara. And even Tara did a workshop on nonprofits. And I think somebody got one started out of that. And then God just blessed us, because I used to volunteer with TV 49. And I told Miss Dorothy I was having a little conference. She said, bring them all over. And she just let us rotate. It was just a divine opportunity. You got to just be obedient to what God's telling you. We don't know the fruit that's going to come out of even this conference. Amen. I've been so excited about this. We had to come in today because we need to make sure things were home with my son. He's playing football. We really needed to support him yesterday. It was really important. And it's a seed again we're sowing, but we got up early this morning. Told everybody, y'all better get on that bus. Don't you miss it, because we got to go. We're not turning back around, so you better not miss it. We got 5 teenagers at our house. Amen. And so when you're obedient to the Lord, you don't know what he's going to do, what door he's going to open. And you got to hook up with people. You know what I'm saying? Me and you would never part. Amen. Wonder twin power activate. What? I'm serious. We got to do it together. I had to be able to share with her, hey, this is my idea. You know, I had to bounce off of her. I had to bounce. They came, they were faithful, they did their part, we enjoyed it in Jesus' name, and I really believe we made an impact. As a result, again, dreams were birthed. Yeah. Hook up with people. You don't have to do it by yourself. That's right. Yeah. Karen, Shelley, Cynthia have Seeking God's Ministry, SGM, I love it, and been doing it faithful for so long, but they triple threaded, amen? Yeah. You don't have to do it by yourself. A lot of times I have things I want to do, but I don't have the time. So I link up with other people and say, well, can I do this one thing with you? And then I'll go back. Yes. You may not be able to do it all. Right. You may not be able to do it from the ground up. Right. Find somebody who has some integrity. And if they don't, back up off of that. Yeah. You know, people like to take your ideas, run with it, put their name on it. Yeah. Been there, done that. Come on now. Okay, that's another road. You got to do what God's told you to do, what he's equipped you to do. Y'all are beautiful, talented women. There are things, you're coming here to this conference for a reason. I was just at a women's conference in my where we live now last weekend, and people say, you're going to another one. I said, this one's even bigger and more important to me, because this is one I'm vested in, because it's been a mentor of mine for 10 years. I was just a participant, and this right here, I get to partake, and I'm going to participate, amen? People don't understand. They don't understand the drive sometimes. When you get connected with people who pull, amen? And also, they came down to our wedding. We appreciate y'all. Yeah. My head's like that, y'all. It's just big. And he has to try to, he let me have my freedom. I don't know. It started out like this, and it was like, woo. I can't help it. My brain. Amen. But I thank God for him. That's my ace, my boo. He has my back. Amen. And I just thank God for him. Amen. And I got an and on him. Okay. So let me get back on. Right here. How do I know if I'm voting for the right person? Does voting for a particular party make me immoral? I struggle with that one. Because as a Democrat, I said, they was like, you're going to hell because you vote for those Democrats. And then people on the other side say, they going to hell because they voting for those Republicans. Right, yeah. I'm confused. God, what you got to say about this? Right. He has a lot. Seek him. Amen. Yeah. And then Christians. I'm not talking about everybody. Right. Not everybody caring. I'm talking about the Christians. Why do Democrat and Republican Christians disagreeing? Yeah. One thing we got to agree on is the word of God. Amen. More than anything else. We got to be, unite in this thing. I don't care what party, because I got a chapter called that too. God can use a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care what party you're a part of, where's your heart? Are you seeking God? Are you hearing his voice? Amen? Amen. All right, let's see what else we got. Okay, so I have a prayer voting guide that I created, and I created it for Bible.com, and I shared it with Pastor Brenda. And Pastor Brenda, they came back and they were excited. And then they came back yesterday and said, I don't know. Wow. Yeah, they said, I don't think I want to do the religion and politics thing. So I was really excited. I even shared it with her. Yeah. And so I was down yesterday. I'm not going to joke about it. I really was. I was like, Lord, I could reach 250 million people with your word, not Freya's word. I said, so the Lord said, you did all that work. It's a 17-day prayer guide. You just wrote another book. Turn it into a book. Amen. Yeah. I got me some sugar for my lemons. And we gonna do it that way, amen? Because all it is it's a daily. They were interested. So that's why I'm excited. I was like, Lord, they say they get hundreds of submissions and they only respond to who they like. And so I said, Lord, that person was interested. But by the time I got to the other people, when you're dealing with people that are so loyal to a party, I took out all the party references. I made it very neutral. I did all of that. But still something, Lord, and your people is being rubbed the wrong way about politics. Amen. And so God said, girl, you just wrote another book. And you did it in a day. What? Daily devotional prayer scriptures. We're going to go straight to ebook with this one. Amen. All right. So God is in control, y'all. Seek him, follow him, trust him, and you won't go wrong. Don't get stuck on just one issue. Now, see, this is where I probably make people feel a little uneasy, saying, Freya, but you know the one big issue that we have, the moral litmus test, and if we don't do that, don't get stuck on the one issue. What is God saying? This is going to be a tough one that you got to digest. Lord, what are you saying in this hour? What are you saying? What are you telling us? People have been hoodwinking us on one issue forever, and then we're still not living righteously. God, what are you saying? I didn't come to endorse anybody, denounce anybody, renounce anybody, unless it's against the word of God. Flaws on both sides. Flaws on, this is my blue party. This is going to be my yellow party. Amen. All right. And we're going to vote. We're going to vote. We're going to vote. And I got a little activity here for y'all in just a moment, but we're going to vote. But we're going to seek him, follow him, and trust him. Amen. Don't get stuck. People are deceiving us. Politicians are marketing specialists. I'm a marketing person. I'll create an infographic. I got some I'll show you in a moment. I got this cool little app, and I just create them all the time. But I'm a marketer. And if I want somebody to get my message, I'm going to market it in a way. Yeah. I'm going to align with you and say, oh, that's what you need. I got you on that, girl. Yeah. I'm going to do everything else over here foolish now. Yeah. But I'm going to give you that because I'm marketing to you. Yeah. Church can't be deceived. Right. We got to wake up. No matter what side it is, we've been hoodwinked by both parties for so long. It is time for the Christian party to emerge. We don't have enough votes yet, but can we keep voting? Can we keep seeding? Can we keep trying? Amen? Amen. All right, so my little activity, y'all got to come together and kind of group together. I know I'm a trainer, y'all. I got trainer tricks and all kind of stuff. Y'all got to come together, pen, paper. We're going to have us a little debate. Just a 2-minute debate. On this side, one on this side. We're going to go point for point. How many people do I have over here? All right. Ramona's going to moderate, okay? You're neutral right now. Okay. She gets her point, she goes for it. She gets her point, she goes for it. In the end, we're going to vote. And the question was, to have shoes or not have shoes, should a child wear shoes to school or not? Okay? All right. Here, Ramona.
All right. Welcome, 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 welcome. We're so happy that all of you all can join us at 1:39 in the afternoon. We have Lady Evie and we also have Lady Sharon here. And today we are going to talk about why we should or should not have shoes. Starting the debate, we are going to start with Lady Evie. She's going to present to us why we should have wear shoes to school. Lady Evie.
It protects our feet. There's a risk of injury. So if we don't have shoes on, we can get a nail stuck in our shoe, and that will lead to our foot. There's a risk for infection. If there is an injury, you can get cut. If you do not have shoes on, there's glass. There's different things that are on there. I see the team. They're making the... environmental changes. So if there's snowing, your feet will get cold. That can set in hypothermia. Same thing with the heat, or if it's raining outside. We live in Florida. you hold your health to hold the kids hold themselves to a higher standard. So if the kids have like a new pair of Jordans on, they're gonna be excited. They're gonna walk a different way. I know they always want the newest, and at one time it was Oreo Jordans. I don't know. So, but they hold themselves to a higher standard. It will prevent them from breaking their foot. The right shoe will prevent them from breaking our foot. And we have a testimony to that as well. So.
All right, we're going to call time on the haves. Now we're going to go to the have-nots, and then we will allow her to present Lady Sharon her case. And then upon completion, they will be able to give a one-minute argument for each side, and then we will cast our votes. Lady
Sharon. So our position is that the reason that children should not wear shoes to school is because, one, there's not the same social economic status in each household. And as you know, statistics show that having the Jordans, the $300 shoes, is a burden on the household because parents don't always have enough money to support that. But because their parents do it because the children are being bullied. So it's going to cut down on the bullying of people and all of the children and all of that. If everyone is equal because everyone has no shoes, then we can't say that this person's shoes are better than my shoes because we all have no shoes. As far as infection and dangers and environmental things, Jesus is a healer. So everything that comes up against us, we have already been delivered from and saved from. However, so it's also going to make sure that these children that are esteeming themselves by tennis shoes are not becoming materialistic because of what their families can or cannot afford to buy.
Yes, time. All right, we're now entering our second phase where we're going to allow each lady to give an argument as to why we should or should not wear. So, Lady Eby, your rebuttal.
Yes, Jesus is a healer, but he also provided the shoes provided the funds so that they could purchase the shoes. So I understand that, and your statistics show about social economic status. However, a child that feels good about himself because he has new shoes will do well in school as well, because he's going to be the person that God called him to be despite if he has shoes or not. But if he has shoes, he'll hold his head up a little higher. And I'm done.
Thank you, ladies. We must give our second speaker a chance to speak. Lady Sharon.
Because we are people, we are vessels, but we are called to be Christ-like. Jesus himself walked the face of the earth with people that had no shoes. They had no less anointing, they had no less power, they healed, they delivered, and they allowed people to wash their feet, whether or not they had the same social economic status or not. So power and authority is not in the shoes, it is in the person that you are representing and who you are inside because of who Christ is in you. I'm done.
Attention, attention. Henceforth, we will not have any mic dropping or pounding. Thank you very much. Now, I would first like to thank our ladies, Lady Eby and Lady Sharon, so much for coming out today at 1:44. We thank them for also. But ladies, the power of voting is in your hands. You will choose today in an orderly fashion that will be revealed shortly. We will not have any emotional outbursts. We will not have any whisperings. There is not going to be any influential things. I will ask, since we are in the house of God, remember you are in the house of God. So we're going to do this vote with integrity. Integrity. We're going to pray before we vote. So you all have a moment. You have 1 minute to bow. And we're all winners at Winners Worship Center. Ladies, you may take your seat because your vote counts as well. Now we're going to give, pray before you, y'all laughing, bow your heads because we're getting ready to vote. Seek God. Pray before you vote. Now, you have 1 minute. 1 minute. Lady Sharon, you're not supposed to be talking. This is an integrity session. No influence. It's to your head. You do not want your vote disqualified. Now that we all have had a moment of silence to seek God and pray before we vote, I'm going to hand this back to the woman of the hour, and she's going to give you further instructions. Thank you so much.
Let's give the lady Ramona a round of applause. Well done. Well done. All right. So this is private. Get a piece of paper right now. Shoes or no shoes. And we're going to tally this up later, Ramona. And I need you to come back and share the total, okay? See how this debate, we have a debate coming up on Monday night, actually. How this debate impacted your vote. Both sides were excellent. I feel like I'm leaning to the left. Feel like I'm leaning to the right. You look at King Josiah in the Bible, he didn't lean to the left or the right, amen? I think that was 2 Chronicles 2 and 34, something like that, or 34, something like that. I'm waiting to preach that one. He didn't lean either way. Shoes or no shoes, yes or no, you tally them up. See how influential our debaters were. While we're tallying, we're going to wrap up some things here. So I just want to encourage our women to continue to have a positive influence. When you know you're seeing a young man walking around and his pants are dropped, tell him to what? But that's not the only indication that something's wrong, but just let him know, let's take pride. And our young ladies, we got to school them too, right? We, the church, have a lot to offer. The world should want to emulate us. How we think, how we plan, how we act, how we do. Amen? But women, take a look at the woman's power as we're getting ready to wrap this up. Girl, you don't know your power. Hannah had the power to do what? The woman with the issue of blood had the power of? Mary, Pastor Brenda Frewster, the power to? But on the flip side, Jezebel had the power to. But Rahab, even though she was the woman she was, what was Rahab? But what was she for real, for real? But she still was a what? She found her what? Destiny. Amen? She saved who? Remember the spies? Yeah. And then, on the flip side, Delilah. I'm teaching on the Delilah spirit and the Jezebel spirit, by the way. What about Rosa Parks had the power to? Harriet Tubman. I'm writing a script for Harriet Tubman. I wrote 13 scenes for the Underground Railroad. Then the movie The Underground came out. I was laid off during that time. So whenever I get laid off from a job I've been through four, I get real creative. So I wrote 13 scenes for the Underground Railroad, but the show was out. This was 2 years ago. I used to go to Starbucks every day and go write. Leave the kids, go let them go to school, and I go write. So the Holy Spirit say, put it in a book. And I'm just going to convert it from the screenplay to a book, and we'll see what God does. Loretta Lynch, what did she have the power to? Condoleezza Rice. And the mothers of the movement, the mothers who have lost their sons too soon because of violence, what do they have the power to do? Girl, you don't know your power. So, Ramona, do you have our totals so we can know what their power did for us?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ladies. Wow. All right. So thank you all for everybody who has voted. We actually have an interesting vote. It was a close race. We have 6 people that say to wear shoes and 5 people that say do not wear shoes. Now, the kicker of this is that we have a write-in vote, because there is that power. You can write something in. We were talking about the letter, remember that, which said to wear them as necessary. So that is a write-in vote. And so, yes for the shoes is what it looks like, but if you did not vote, it's such a it's so close, it's one. Is one. So if you did not vote, man of God, man of God, but you have the power to change. And so at this moment, we will be wearing shoes to school.
Great job. But can you see how something so small was so significant? If you abstain from a vote, that's still a vote. You just gave your vote to somebody else because you didn't even voice your opinion. So when I have the chapter, why vote? Vote, 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 because your non-vote is also a vote. These are some of my infographics I put out on Facebook. I got this little app. It's free. It's called Be Funky. I know it sounds funny, but it's B-E-F-U-N-K-Y. I create all this for free. I just import the picture. I find little backgrounds, and I put that stuff. So I'm not that. I love artistic stuff, but this makes it easier. So if you all need that and you want me to have an online class for you for free, you women in here, I'm offering that through Pastor Brenda. We can set it up. I'd be glad to show you how to use all these little. I love free. I do free blogging. I do free websites. Free radio is called blogtalkradio.com. My mama used to be the only caller, but we be on there faithfully. So I got a lot of freebies if you're trying to market your organization, your dream, your business. I would love to do a seminar with you on that. Again, contact Pastor Brenda. We'll set it up for the church, and we do it virtually, okay? This is another one, Will My Vote Make a Difference? And this here, I love colors. I'm just a colorful person, as you can see. But again, that's that little picture. I've been using that over and over. I need some lip gloss on it, but we used it. That's all we could find at that moment. I love this one. I might rub people the wrong way with this one. Because the point I'm trying to make, Christians shouldn't be gambling anyway, right, Christians? Stop gambling. Pray. All right? All right, we'll leave that long. You know where I'm going with that. Just pray about it. And then I created this one. This was for 9/11. The Holy Spirit gave me this one. Said, Christians, our national security advisor is the Holy Spirit. Our strategy is prayer. And our plan is unity. Amen. We should not be disagreeing. We should be coming together. All right. And you can find me my free web. Well, we paid a little bit for this one. I think we pay like $9 a month just because I need to do some more stuff. But FreyaMotivates.com, that's what the Holy Spirit gave me. I thought it was going to be Freya Talk because, you know, Freya talks too much. But I changed it to Motivates. You can find me. I have a Facebook page I really encourage you to like. It's called @PrayBeforeYouVote. It's really the word @book. So if you ever want to tag it on Facebook, put the symbol @book, pray before you vote. If you have your own Facebook page, fan page, you want someone to tag it, put the @ symbol in front of it. I'm a social media marketer too, so I'm telling you. And do it that way, they can find you. And what I do is I like to infiltrate other pages. That's my evil laugh. And I like to go to pages where people are having conversations about voting. And like if CNN is doing something or Fox News or any of those, and they have like millions of viewers, I'll pop in there and say, yeah, and you need to @book, pray before you vote. And I get automatic marketing to my site right there. So try it. Twitter, I love Twitter. I'm trying to get him more involved. I get to meet all kind of folks on Twitter. I love Twitter. I'm back and forth, and it's cool. And I get to talk about, I got Freya Sports, because I love sports. Then Holy Spirit gave me, I'm the political evangelist. That's me right now. That's my hashtag, political evangelist. I'll do church voice, church vote. Get you a hashtag. Whatever you're posting as your original content, don't put it out there and let it sit for somebody else to grab it. Hashtag it. That's yours. okay? Because what's cool about the hashtag is I can go back and click it, and it'll bring up everything with that. So we did that for our family reunion. We did it for our wedding. Wow, we just love free marketing. Y'all, it's free.